Hello, I'm Simon Wakeling, and welcome to this month's edition of Changing the World with CSU Researchers. This show is produced for 2MCE on Wiradjuri land by the Research and Development Team in the Office of Research Services at Charles Sturt University. On this programme, we highlight some of the amazing work being done by doctoral students at CSU. Later in today's show, we'll be hearing from Ghulam Zakir Hassan, who's been investigating underground water management in Pakistan. First, though, we speak to Genevieve Demont, whose PhD research relates to a topic very close to my own heart.
My name is Genevieve Demont, and I am studying my Doctor of Philosophy with the School of Psychology, and that's in the Justice, Business and Behavioural Sciences faculty at CSU. And I am really lucky to be studying finding a holistic understanding of the co-created cellar door experience from staff and customer perspectives. And it is an Australian standpoint. Wine being very much international, this is an Australian look at the cellar door experience. My background is psychology. I've got a Bachelor of Psychology. And my honours project was the influence of creativity or alcohol on creativity. So very similar to the film Another Round with Mads Mikkelsen. It does increase creativity to a point. So alcohol seems to be a bit of a theme in my research.
To get us started, I asked Genevieve to give us a summary of what her PhD was investigating.
This is an applied research looking mainly at consumer behaviour, focusing on memory and attention and using the cellar door experience to do that. The reason why I'm looking at the cellar door, apart from it being attached to a scholarship, so I had to look at something to do with wine, the Australian wine industry is worth $45 billion to the economy, contributes to around 170,000 jobs outside of the metropolitan areas. Included in that is logistics, packaging, hospitality, tourism. And the cellar door experience is important for direct-to-customer sales, which have the greatest profit margins, greater than wholesale. Also smaller producers, so a lot of the smaller and medium-sized wineries who rely on cellar door do not have enough production to meet wholesale contracts. So if they were to try and get their wines into some of the larger retailers, they may struggle to meet the production requirements for that. So finding out how a cellar door experience is constructed, how it's enjoyable, what is the important part of that? Is it the building? Is it the ambience? Is it the staff? Is it the wine? Is it all about the wine? That is what I'm trying to find out. There is quite a lot of research around wine tourism, the economics of wine tourism, and a little less on the actual cellar door experience. There's winescape research, which has shown that the buildings, the ambience, the scenery is very much a motivator to get people into a wine region. And research has shown that the cellar door experience is very important, just not exactly what it is about the cellar door experience that is so important. And that's what I wanted to find out.
So how exactly did Genevieve set out trying to answer these questions? She explains.
It was so hard. I went to many, many cellar doors in Australia. Not just the East Coast, South Australia, Tasmania, New South Wales. In New South Wales, I did Hunter Valley, Shoalhaven, Canberra District, Mudgee, and a very big shout out at the moment, thank you, to Lerida Estate and McKellar Ridge Wines and Puddle Duck, because they all put their hands up and said, yes, please, bring your eye tracking glasses and put them on our customers and record their cellar door experience so that I could determine visual attention. And They're $45,000 glasses, so it was kind of a big deal to take these to wineries and approach customers saying, "Hey, would you like to put these glasses on, and so I can see what you look at during a cellar door experience?" And everybody looked at staff and faces and the human element of a cellar door experience. Not every customer looked at the view, which was surprising. I was very, very surprised. The three cellar doors were chosen due to their different appearances. One was very sleek, stylized, one very simple, and one full of really fun gifts and bits and pieces, all to do with their name. So very visually distracting. And when I looked at the differences in visual distraction, that one that was meant to have all the visual distractions really didn't distract anybody at all, but the sleek one did. That was quite high on visual distraction. And so I looked carefully at the snapshots that were taken with the eye tracking and noticed that there was one of the artworks was of a human figure. But not only that, the people in the cellar door were reflected in the glass on the artwork. And so that's what people were focusing on, not the actual artwork so much, but the face and the other people in the cellar door. So very much the human element attracts visual attention, and then staff can direct visual attention. So it is the staff who are directing customers and what customers can look at.
Genevieve mentioned there that these results were surprising, but what exactly was so unexpected? Genevieve is able to explain this with reference to another data collection method she used.
It's not so much that it was surprising that humans attract our attention, but that they attracted so much of the attention. Because it did support what was coming out of the interviews that I was doing, that everybody talked about the relationships that they'd had in made in Celador, made lifelong friends, still kept in contact with some people that they had met during a Celador experience. And this human connection was so strong in the interviews that I started asking, why is so much money spent on cellar doors? Why is so much invested when everybody's talking to me about the people that they've met and the staff and what a very good job they did or what a very poor job they did? And it was basically because they've been told to. This is how you attract people to your region. And so wine tourism was starting to influence what the investment was being made in. And they are very beautiful, and I can understand wanting to work in a very beautiful cellar door. But it's not the most important thing for customers. What they really respond to are staff members who can greet them happily, quickly when they walk through the door, but also that have a high level of wine, not just wine knowledge, not just varietals, and being able to say where the vines originated from and what clones we grow in Australia. And that's what's more important is we grow these clones, so that's why these wines have these flavors.
Another phase of Genevieve's research helped to highlight the importance of the educational role cellar door staff play.
Another part of my research was a cellar door survey, and I developed a Bayesian network to look at all the different variables that can impact on sales and word of mouth recommendations. Things like personality, mood, emotion, wine buying habits, whether you buy wine a lot or not a lot, and wine knowledge, as self-rated wine knowledge. And customers who have a higher level of wine knowledge tend to join more wine clubs, spend more money, buy more bottles. And so it's really important to continue the education of the Australian wine consuming public, and just make it less frightening for people to walk into a cellar door and start talking and drinking wine.
Genevieve's findings also identified some implications of cellar door staff not having standard titles or education.
Staffing is the most important part of the cellar door experience, but they need training, professional development. They need the information they need to be. And there is not only is there no industry-wide title for cellar door staff, they are just staff. There's no standard educational module. Some people consider them sales. Some people consider them wine tourism. It's very much this grey area of, well, you just go in there and tell people about wine and sell it. So it would be good if Wine Australia were able to get on board and start developing some sort of educational module for cellar door staff.
I told Genevieve that my own favourite cellar doors were not the shiny modern glass steel ones, but the older, more run-down sites with tractors buzzing in the yard and the winemaker themselves giving the tasting.
You're not alone. That's everybody's favourite cellar door experience. Rustic, the favourite cellar door experiences that I was told about were sitting on the back veranda around one of those, you know, glass outdoor patio furniture settings, and listening to either somebody who's passionate about the winery. They didn't necessarily have to be family, but somebody who had that intimate knowledge and were able to answer questions, and if not answer them, find out the appropriate answer, not just pretend that they knew what they were doing. So this genuine connection came up a lot, this genuine wanting and thirst for knowledge, this not just wine, although, okay, so during the interviews I asked people for five things they would find in a cellar door. The first thing every person said was people, and then there was and then maybe barrels or glasses, but wine wasn't mentioned once. And I was really intrigued to try and understand whether that was because it was just assumed. There was an assumption that, well, I'm at a wine tasting, of course it's going to be wine, or whether it is our memories are very much visual, and so the eye trackers showed that we looked at people, which would be why everybody's at people, and then struggled. So it really does support all the stories that I heard, that just a shed in a paddock with really great wine, warm if it's cold, cool if it's hot, and not the wine, sorry, the ambience, and great stories. That's what makes a wine tasting or a cellar door experience.
Given her findings, why does Genevieve think that so many wineries are investing in expensive new cellar door buildings?
I think it is definitely a motivator for visiting a winery, not necessarily for wine consumers. I think that is just for everybody who is going to be out and thinking that they might like to do a cellar door experience. It can be a motivator, but it can also be a barrier. Like, some people find it quite intimidating walking into a large cellar door, especially if they are going there as a novice wine consumer, but wanting to learn about wine. That's where this welcoming staff member can make all the difference. If they're just going to go to the cafe or to the restaurant and wine isn't a focus, then it's more about being attracted to a cafe or a restaurant. But as to why so much is spent, it's been hard to actually get a straight answer other than, well, we were told to. And also I think possibly it's easier to get money from banks to invest in buildings than it is to invest in humans. I think staffing is considered an expense, whereas a flash new cellar door is considered an investment.
Genevieve's planning to submit her thesis in the next few months. I asked her what comes next.
I would love to continue researching in whatever shape, form that takes, whether it's trying to convince a university to take me on or in corporate world. Happily applied research is actually getting quite well recognised and appreciated. So who knows? I won't say no. I'll just say yes if it's to do with research.
Thanks so much to Genevieve for her contribution, which has certainly made me reflect on whether I chose the wrong academic discipline. Now we turn to our second researcher of the show.
My name is Ghulam Zakir Hassan. So basically, I belong to Pakistan and I started my PhD at Albury campus in Charles State University in School of Agricultural, Environmental and Veterinary Sciences. And I started my research in 2019 on the groundwater issues. Groundwater means the water underground, which is very important and significant component of hydrological cycle. And there were some issues, challenges in Pakistan. I started on this research on the sustainable use of groundwater in Pakistan.
Zakir explains exactly why his research is important and what problem he's attempting to solve.
Regarding, as I have mentioned already, topic of my research is sustainable use of groundwater. So groundwater is a significant component of hydrological cycle, and it is a source of life for human being, for animal, for drinking, for industrial and other commercial uses. So groundwater is an important hydrological component. So like everywhere in the world, groundwater in Pakistan is under threat. Its levels are going down and its quality is deteriorating. Quality deterioration is the more dangerous component that impacts the human health, because most of the people use it for drinking, for industrial, for agriculture, for livestock uses. So its quality should be better and it should be fit for drinking purpose. So in my area, I targeted that what is the current situation of groundwater in Pakistan? What are the institutional and organizational gaps in sustainable use of groundwater in Pakistan? And I also use groundwater modeling tools to ascertain that if how we can manage groundwater and how can we make it more available for the common people, for the human. So I use the social component, I use the technical components, and then I use the groundwater model in my study to answer my four research questions.
So what's already known about this topic? Has there been much prior research?
No doubt, lot of literature, lot of research, lot of model studies have been done in the global community. But when we talk about the Pakistan and talk about the local region in which I worked, so there is not so much work done on groundwater modeling and new research concept. In my topic and my research, it was a multidisciplinary and interdisciplinary research. So I coupled the social component, the environmental component, the technical component, and then the institutional component. All the components were studied together from different angles. So this type of this research is a unique of its type or its nature, which has been carried out in Pakistan first time in such a successful manner.
I asked Zakir to explain more about these different components of his research.
When I talked about the social component, I interviewed semi-structured qualitative interview from 31 experts from the national, international, local and regional levels, and from different sectors, from public sector, private sector, common people, policy maker and decision maker, operator, manager. So it was a mixture. A criteria was developed to select the participant for my interview. The one component is that I interviewed the 31 experts and I collected the social semi-structured qualitative interviews. This is the one component. Second component is I went into the field and I did some experiments by hand. And I verified some of the data, climatical data, river canal flows data, sediment data, then groundwater level data. This is one component. Third component is I collected 21 groundwater sample in my study area and I analyzed these samples for heavy metal, for physicochemical properties, and for radioisotopes. So this was very important because this water, groundwater in my study area was being used, is being used for the drinking by the human. So that is very critical thing, that the whether this water is suitable for drinking or not. So then I went for the groundwater quality analysis myself. Then the third component is I calibrated groundwater mud flow, well-known U.S. Geological Survey model, mud flow. Mud flow is a well-known international model which is used for groundwater simulation and groundwater future prediction. And then I calibrated this model. Then I predicted the situation, groundwater situation up to 2035. What will be the groundwater situation after 15 years, after 20 years? What will be the situation of groundwater? What will be its level? What will be its impact? And then there was a recharge project. Groundwater, Punjab government has planned a recharge, manage aquifer recharge, to divert flood water and inject it to the underground to replenish this underground storage and make more water available for the community for different uses. So these were the literature review, of course. Then institutional analysis, desktop review, so data collection on quality. So these are all the methods which I have applied for my research.
Zakir has completed his research and submitted his PhD thesis. He explains how his research has delivered some important findings.
The first finding is that groundwater situation in Pakistan is very deteriorating. It is being not managed properly at any level. It is out of sight. Similarly, it is out of mind of the people. So it is not being given due importance, which is required for a sustainable use. First thing. Second thing, in study, my study area, groundwater is not suitable at all for drinking purpose. Humans shall not drink it. It may cause a severe impact on the health. However, it is still suitable for the agricultural crops and then for the livestock. Third component is that manage aquifer recharge project, which the government is implementing to divert flood water into a groundwater. Manage aquifer recharge can contribute significantly to the supply side management of groundwater resource. Third thing is that there are institutional gaps, overlapping, duplicity, lack of knowledge, lack of expertise, lack of coordination among the stakeholder at different level, federal, provincial, and local level. So people are working in isolation, but not in an integrated mode. So these are some of the few findings from my thesis.
So will Zakir's research lead to meaningful change? He believes it will.
The findings of my thesis I will submit to the Madhya government, because I am working as a director in a provincial irrigation department at a very pivotal key post. So my findings I will be sharing with my government to make decision, to take some institutional changes, to make some organizational changes, to involve the community, how to use the groundwater model for sustainable use of groundwater management. And the project which the Punjab government is implementing, it has been found successful and very interesting project. So the government can replicate these projects, similar projects in other areas of country, Pakistan, to replenish the depleted aquifer. And then we can make more, sometimes we have surplus water in the shape of flood water and the rainfall water. So I can suggest to the government can harvest that flood water and rainfall water and then can inject it to the underground to make more groundwater sustainable and more water available to the community. And third, its important implication for the common people is that I have warned the people in the area that don't drink this water. This water is not suitable for your health. Don't use this water without treatment, without purification. Some people in rural areas are already using this groundwater directly. They think it is safe. So I have recommended to the people that this water is not suitable. They should not drink. So this will be a contribution to the human health as well.
To finish off, I asked Zakir to tell us about some of the highs and lows of his research journey.
I think it is a very interesting and a very interesting and lovely experience to work with the nice people in Australia, a nice place. So this was a great journey to see Australia, to meet the friends and people, have friends over there. Already there are many Pakistani friends over there. So this was a great opportunity for learning, so for seeing, and for traveling. When we talk about the high thing, this is very simple. Everything was high. I got a scholarship. I got good supervisory team. I got good university. And I got the good campus. Albury, basically, I love that campus. Very natural place. Very cool, calm, and environmentally sound place. I love to study at Albury campus. So I got each and everything I got. It was very high. Over here, I would like to mention that I have been still working as the vice president for the Postgraduate Student Association at Charles Sturt University. I'm still working in that position. And later on, I have worked as a school board member, School of Agriculture, Environment, and Veterinary Sciences. And thirdly, I also worked for 1 year as the HDR committee member of the Charles Sturt University. So I got good opportunity to mix with the friends, the different communities, different people, different organization. So that was a good experience to share and interact. And same time, I have presented many times at the meet to our HDR student, and I have provided guidance to the new student as well. So this was a very interesting and lovely life which I have spent during these 4 years. Now, if we go for the bad thing or low thing or the difficult time, that was the first thing was that I have to leave my family, to leave my family and friends at Pakistan and go to Australia. My parents, very old age, to leave them alone and to get permission, their prayers. That was a difficult task for me. Actually, we in our family setup, our parents expect that their kids, that their children will live with them. Even they are grown up to 50 years, they are still children for our parents. This was a difficult thing. Second difficult thing was that COVID struck. I completed first year 2019 and started from 2020. I came for data collection in Pakistan and the COVID outbreak was there. So this was the biggest challenge, and I had make a very tough time. Family at home, everything scattered, quarantine, and traveling difficult, conducting interview very difficult, going into the field very banned, difficult hardship. So this COVID restriction was very terrible, which hampered adversely to the my study. And due to this COVID, I could not shift my family to Australia. Actually, I planned to take my wife and the younger son in the Albury. I got both visa for both of them and got admission and school for my younger son. But due to this COVID situation for 2 years, I could not took them with me. So I have to travel this journey alone. This was the difficult period of my study journey.
That's all we have time for today, I'm afraid. Many thanks to Zakir and Genevieve for sharing their research, and we wish them the very best for the future. I'll be back on 2MCE in coming months with another edition of Changing the World with CSU Researchers. So until then, bye-bye.